How much authority should the government have when it comes to raising our kids and teaching them moral right and wrong? Today, we bring you a special encore presentation of an interview with constitutional lawyer and founder of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, Michael Ferris. Get ready to put your parenting in perspective today on Licensed to Parent. And welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a residential treatment facility for troubled teens located near Atlanta, Georgia. Our host, as always, is Trace Embry, founder and director of Shepherd's Hill, and I'm Rich Rosel, your mild-mannered co-host. And Trace, it really does seem that more and more these days, and I would say especially in the public school systems, government is attempting to take on a greater role in shaping the worldview of our kids and in restricting the rights of parents to really raise their kids as they see fit. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it certainly appears that way, Rich, which is one reason why I'm such a homeschool advocate. And it's why I thank God for guys like Michael Ferris and others like him who are at the forefront of defending the rights of parents to raise their kids according to the dictates of their own hearts, which, you know, I realize is, if not led by, you know, a regenerated heart, isn't always a good idea either. But these are some of the thorny issues that we're going to be discussing with our guest today.
And you've already let the cat out of the bag by mentioning Michael Ferris's name. Michael Ferris is the founder of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. He's also the chancellor of Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, and he also founded ParentalRights.org. Michael Ferris is also the author of several books on homeschooling and family, as well as the book From Tyndale to Madison. He and his wife Vicki began homeschooling in 1982 and today have 10 children, along with 14 grandchildren. He is an ordained Baptist minister, and Education Week named him one of the most significant 100 faces of the century. As you can see, he's a very busy man, so we're glad to have Michael here with us today.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, thank you so much for being with us, brother. I see so many Christian parents today who have succumbed to political correctness and a Dr. Spock or Dr. Phil approach to raising their kids. Have we as Christians, by and large, just kind of rolled over and allowed the government and culture to shape the worldview of our kids today?
Trace, unfortunately, that's the case. I've often thought that if I could have just one wish for parents when they're making schooling choices, when they're making parenting choices, that they would just read the Bible and see what it says on that subject matter, sure, and then do it. And you know, don't listen to me, don't listen to anybody else, just go read the Bible on the subject.
Right.
And we've been making decisions in a clearly biblical manner. Mm-hmm. We don't consult the Word of God when we're making most important decisions of our raising of our children, including where are they going to go to school. And you know, there's kind of a semi-biblical logic at times. Well, I want my child to be salt and light of the world. Mm-hmm. That's all true, but there are direct commands on education. There are direct commands on how your kids are to learn. And I would just encourage parents to look at the Word of God and say, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Right.
If you don't think it's worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God turns you over to a depraved mind to do that which ought not to be done. And when you start looking at the clear scriptures on how you raise and educate kids, it really is impactful in your decisions as a parent.
No doubt about it. I heard someone once said that if you send your kids off to Babylon, don't be surprised when they come back Babylonians. Tell us a little bit about Homeschool Legal Defense Association and ParentalRights.org.
Homeschool Legal Defense Association is a group that I founded in 1983. So we are just over 30 years old now. We passed our anniversary a few months ago. And we have about 85,000 homeschooling families that are members. That's about 350,000 children that are members of our organization. And we represent the largest single organization of homeschooling in the world, but we're probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about 15% of all the homeschoolers that are members of our organization. And so we defend the right of parents to homeschool their kids, and
awesome.
We defend that in the courts throughout the country. We defend that in Congress. We defend that in the state legislatures. We do some other things as well. We have resources for parents with special needs kids, those that need help with the high school arena. We've got all kinds of specialty things that we do nowadays. But our core mission is to defend the right of parents to direct the upbringing and education of their children.
That's awesome.
That has got to be a full-time job. How do you also have time to do anything at Patrick Henry?
Well, it is a full-time job, but there's 75 people that work for HSLDA.
Yeah, excellent.
It's a full-time job for a lot of people. We have about a dozen lawyers on staff. And, originally it was a full-time job for me, answering the mail, going to the bank, programming the computers. I did everything initially, but that was 30 years ago. So, those days are gone. I basically direct the appellate litigation and the congressional strategy now. I divide my time between HSLDA and Patrick Henry College. And the college, I'm the chancellor where I teach constitutional law and coach our moot court team that's won 7 national championships in the last 9 years.
Awesome.
We do okay there. We are also affiliated with parentalrights.org, which was originally a part of HSLDA, but we spun it off as a separate organization. And its mission is twofold. One is to see that a parent's rights amendment is adopted to the U.S. Constitution, and we're trying to defeat the anti-parent treaties from the United Nations that are being pushed through the U.S. Senate. Last year, we had a big battle on the U.N. Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and we were one of the key leaders on defeating that treaty. They're coming back on that. We also are in opposition to the U.N. Convention on the Rights of the Child. Both of those have really wonderful sounding names, but they're actually very dangerous treaties.
Mm-hmm.
The key phrase in both treaties is the United Nations.
Right.
And we believe, and I think almost all Americans believe, whatever policies we're going to have relative to children and parents and education ought to be American policies. Our state legislatures really should be the ones that are making whatever policies we need on education, parenting, discipline, medicine, and all those subjects. Those should be made by Americans and not by the United Nations.
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. For a parent that's looking for a school for their kid who's seriously pursuing a career, knowing that a biblical worldview must be preeminent in that, Patrick Henry is a pretty good choice, it sounds like.
Well, it's a great choice. If you are interested in one of the 5 majors that we have, we're not trying to be all things to all people, but to do a few things very well.
Mm-hmm.
We have majors in government, and we have several varieties actually there between international relations, strategic intelligence. We have lots of kids going into the FBI and the CIA and so on. We have the best pre-law program in the country, bar none. Secular, Christian, it doesn't matter. We top the charts.
That's awesome.
We have journalism, history, literature, and classical liberal arts. And so if students are interested in those things, we would welcome them. We're also moving, we're almost on the verge of being able to offer an economics and business degree.
Awesome.
And Lord willing, that will be coming next fall. So September of 2014, we should be able to be moving in that direction, we believe. But just on the final stages of that preparation right now. So we're going to add a few majors over the course of time, but we want to be in the public square, having a solid Christian worldview. We like to think of it as the intersection between a clear, hard, and fast understanding of the Word of God and the values of the Founding Fathers.
Mm-hmm.
When you have those things at intersection, which are really complementary and not two things, but they're intersecting values, we think that young people are really prepared to lead this nation and shape the culture.
Yeah, and you know what? When we talk about politics and culture with our kids at Shepherd's Hill, I'm amazed. They're on the edge of their seats. As a matter of fact, we've had 3 years running now, kids from Shepherd's Hill who have won national awards to go spend a week in Washington, D.C. to get an inside look at the inner workings of the Capitol building and
Supreme Court
building and the like, meet their senators and representatives and all that. And, it's just been a tremendous experience for them. I'm really encouraged by this generation. It's there's a lot of discouragement, but once they, like Paul Harvey used to say, hear the rest of the story, I tell you what, they're on fire to change things. There's something in their souls that, that they know is wrong with our nation today.
Indeed, and you know, one of my favorite memories of my we're on our 14th academic year now at Patrick Henry College. I took a moot court team to the East Coast National Championship, which we've won many times now. But this was a few years ago, and our students were facing each other. We had two Patrick Henry teams in the final, and a one of our final panel judges was an appellate judge in the state courts of Massachusetts. And he said, you know, I just came here today to do my civic duty. But when I met these students, you know, particularly ones from and then he realized he was about to insult all the other colleges at the tournament, but he was clearly going to say the ones from Patrick Henry College. He said, well, when I've met these students, I am so encouraged about the future of our country. Well, it doesn't take too much logic to figure out that this guy was most likely a liberal, being a state judge in Massachusetts. And he was impressed by quality. And when we see our young people out there at the top end of the academic and winsomeness charts by being able to know what to say, have a really good grasp of the law, have the ability to deliver it in a really convincing and winsome manner, people stand up and take notice, and people want to follow.
That's right.
The future of the country is bright if Christians will take the time to raise their children in excellence and in the Word of God.
That's right. I think half of it, too, is just knowing our history. I'm amazed at what kids do not know about history. We have so many kids that come into our place that don't even know who Adolf Hitler is. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me here.
Well, you'd think he was on a video game or something.
Well, if he was, I guarantee you they'd know exactly who he was.
We beat that level. We've already played that one.
Well, you know, like us here at Licensed to Parent and Shepherd's Hill Academy, your vision doesn't seem to be limited to just you know, individual families, but the nation as a whole. Tell us why this is so important, even biblical, and why parents would do well to adopt the same ideology.
Well, it's both for the individual family and for the nation. And, I mean, I'm a dad of 10 kids. I, as of middle of September, will have 17 grandchildren.
Good for you. That's great.
And so, you know, if I don't succeed as a father, then none of what I'm doing for the nation really matters. Yeah. But, you know, I'm pleased to be able to, in fact, I'm thrilled to be able to say that all 10 of my kids are walking with God. I mean, there are 8 of them are married now, so, I mean, it's not like they're walking with God and they're 4 years old. You know, they are grown. The youngest is 16. And I believe that strong families are the key to a strong nation.
Yeah.
But we're not training our kids to go sit under a shade tree and read nice books and sigh and drink iced tea. We're training them as warriors.
That's right.
And when the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against you, it's not talking about us huddling into little conclaves someplace and, you know, not being attacked by gates. Gates don't attack anybody.
Right.
Gates are places the enemy of our soul has erected a temporary barrier, land that was supposed to belong to our king, and the enemy has taken it over, and we're supposed to go knock down the gates and take the land. I was once hired to verify a quote from a Harvard psychiatrist who had told a group of teachers that when children come to the school, they are mentally ill because they believe in God, they believe in their parents, and they believe in this country. And he said, it's up to you teachers to make these sick children well. And I could prove that this guy was at this conference, but I couldn't find the quote in print anywhere. I mean, I'd seen it floating around in kind of unattributed sources. So I picked up the phone and I called him. You know,
that's intentional.
You know, I'm trying to verify this quotation. Did you say this? And he changed one word in it. He changed the word, you know, an inconsequential word. But he said, yeah, I said that. That's what I believe. That's true. Mm. And that's what the high-level leadership of the education system believes.
Hitler's youth.
Believe, exactly. They believe that the role of the government is to train people into the worldview that they espouse. There are professors right now at Emory University, at Northwestern University, at George Washington University, at Stanford, who have argued in print, mostly in law reviews, that every child in the country should be forced to go to the public schools so that they would be taught to be tolerant. And by tolerant, they mean to not believe that one truth is truth.
Yeah, right.
And it's not that we stand up for the rights of people who believe differently than us. I believe that. You believe that. We should believe that everybody has the sole liberty to take whatever position they want relative to God, and the government should never coerce them otherwise.
I agree.
But that's not what these people believe. They believe the government should coerce those who believe that God is God and that Jesus is the only way to God, that we should be coerced to drop that and say something like, well, Jesus is the way I have found for me.
Right.
But if other ways
are
equally true.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's syncretism with coercion. And, you know, it's kind of the Hitler-style coercive use of government schools to implement their own agenda. I actually just published an article about this in the Peabody Journal of Education, which is published by Vanderbilt University. It's one of the top education journals of the country. And I've thrown down the gauntlet. I basically say, do we believe in liberty or do we believe in coercive tolerance? You can't have both.
Mm. We're talking today with Michael Ferris about training our children to live out their faith and influence our nation, as others in school, government, and society are doing their best to squash our faith. It's Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of a Christian Worldview, today on License to Parent. I'm Rich Rosl, our host is Trace Embry, and we'll be right back. Hi, I'm Rich Rosl, co-host of License to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on License to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on License to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at licensedtoparent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. Go to licensedtoparent.org and click donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
Welcome back to License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosl, and again, our guest today is Michael Ferris with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association and parentalrights.org. He's also the chancellor of Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. And Michael, we were talking before the break in large part about the challenge that families face in trying to bring a Christian worldview into the marketplace or into the public square. And what a challenge that is to all of us, because everyone else is saying, no, you have to separate church from state. How do we go about doing this?
And can you, is that really possible?
Well, it's certainly possible. Best definition of persuasiveness I've ever heard is to learn how to guide your vital truths around others' mental roadblocks. And so what doesn't work is just to ignore the way that other people think and feel. You need to have some understanding of the world's perspective and why they think that way. And one of the reasons that we study Western civilization in depth at Patrick Henry College is so that our students understand the trends and the precepts and where they get these ideas. We have them read things as wild as Nietzsche, because but we don't read it devotionally like they would in many university settings. We read it critically and say, how have these kind of ideas infected the lives of other people's thinking? And so when you understand the way your opponent thinks, or the opponent being a worldview and a philosophy, not people, then and when you know the truth solidly, and you can say, okay, they're here, the truth is here, how can we reason around that, giving them the things that they understand and the values that they're holding, and get to the truth? So you start by knowing the truth. Then you start by having at least some insight into the opposition thinking, and you learn how to winsomely present the truth. That's the basic formula. And you can do it slowly and in small areas, and then you can do it more broadly. But that's the process we're involved in at Patrick Henry College.
I agree. Well, listen, I'm going to shift gears here just a little bit. We talk about parental rights. The momentum in our culture seems to be all about children's rights. Abuse seems to be... abused. On the parentalrights.org website, the tagline says, protecting children by empowering parents. How do you respond to those who might say that if you empower parents, that you're going to be empowering some abusive ones?
Well, if you draw the lines correctly, you won't be empowering truly abusive parents. But we have to recognize that in a free country, we're going to make mistakes, and that somebody is going to do the wrong thing, and we have to move in and punish those who do the wrong thing after the fact, and we can't prevent misuse of parental authority up front, unless we want to adopt the system that Scotland is advocating, and that is they're going to assign a social worker to every child at birth. Every child. And so there's going to be a government official watching every child. Now, ultimately, they could replace those officials with cameras, I suppose, in the home and monitor the kids electronically somehow. But even then, the government workers doing the monitoring sometimes do abuse. And so, you know, the reality is there's going to be an adult in the child's life.
Right.
No one's going to advocate a system where children on their own are making their decisions. So you have to decide who is the first line decision maker. Is the government going to be the first line decision maker, or is the parent going to be the first line decision maker? It's got to be one or the other.
I agree.
And the parent needs to be the one. Those are the ones who 99% of the time truly love their children.
Right.
Maybe it's 99.5%. I don't know. But the dominant majority of the time, parents truly love their children and want to do the right thing. Sometimes they need help in figuring out what the right thing is, but they want to do the right thing. And that's rarely said about government officials. Maybe they, you know, are decent people, but they don't love the kids.
Well, you're talking common sense, though, right now. You're talking common sense. In a postmodern world, common sense is out the window. You know, Jesus said, in this life, you'll have tribulation. So suffering is a reality, even for kids. Where is the line of demarcation between the suffering the kids may have to endure by being in an abusive, quote-unquote, abusive home by parents who supposedly love them and being placed in foster care or a state-run facility by people who probably aren't going to love them as a biological parent would?
Well, the traditional legal standards of this country are really pretty sensible. And when there's a clear showing of harm to the child that is not, you know, minimal, like the Iowa Supreme Court a few years ago said, yeah, you can spank a kid, and if it leaves a red mark and it stays a little while, then no big deal. If you give a kid a beating where he's going to have bruises for days, or you cut them or lacerate them, that's abuse. And so we have a long tradition of being able to sort out true abuse from just ordinary parenting.
Yeah.
And so that tradition, if we continue to follow it, will give us the right answer most of the time. Now, nothing in this life is going to be fail-safe. Nothing is going to be perfect. But it gets the right answer the vast majority of the time if we use those traditional systems. And where we require evidence, we don't take kids without evidence, and we don't take them because we disagree with their philosophy. We take them when there's objective evidence of actual harm.
Sure.
And when we apply those standards, we're going to get it right most of the time. But what's happening is we're changing the standards. And those the newfangled standards of lead to bizarre results. Like two cases that I was involved in illustrate the bizarre nature of the results. One was a 13-year-old boy who went to his school counselor, who said that he didn't want to go to church as often as his parents wanted to go to. And it turned out the parents wanted to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night prayer meeting, which is exactly what I did when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. He went to the school counselor, and the school counselors were outraged at this. And they called the social workers, and they took custody of this boy because they thought 3 times a week was too much at church. So they thought that was abuse. And I went to court for the family. This is years ago in Washington State. And the judge from the bench said, I think once a week is enough church for any 13-year-old boy. If you want to custody of your son back, you have to agree to just once a week for church. That's the kind of shifting standard of abuse definitions that mm-hmm. is intolerable. We cannot put up with that judge. He was asserting his own parental idea. I mean, kind of looking at the judge, I thought if his kids went to church once a week, that'd probably be an improvement. But anyhow, it's not the judge's decision.
Right.
That should be the parent's decision.
Right.
Another case very similar to it, and also at the same time period, a young teenage girl, was grounded by her parents for smoking marijuana and sleeping with her boyfriend. And the courts took the child from the parents because there was conflict between parent and child. Not because the parents were doing anything wrong, but just because there was conflict. That was another definition of abuse that's shifting. We've got to stop this kind of nonsense and put parents back into their normal traditional role of being the primary decision makers for kids. And when there's true abuse, we move in. When there's not, we let parents raise their kids.
Yeah. Well, Mike, with just a few seconds left, what final word of counsel do you have for parents who still might feel that the deck is stacked against them by the government, you know, to exercise more control over their children than they actually have?
Well, we need to have the Constitution directly proclaim that parents have fundamental rights to raise their kids. That's in question in courts these days. And if they come to parentalrights.org, they can learn how to do that.
Good deal. Parentalrights.org. Hmm.
Our guest today has been Michael Ferris, founder of ParentalRights.org. You can also learn more about Michael and all of the work that he's involved in when you visit the Homeschool Legal Defense Association at hslda.org or Patrick Henry College at phc.edu. Michael, thanks again for taking time and spending a few minutes with us today.
Well, thank you so much.
Licensed to Parent, again, is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. And if you'd like to learn more about us, if you'd like to read our blog, if you'd like to hear archives of past programs, or connect with us on Facebook or Twitter, you can do so by visiting us online at licensedtoparent.org. That's licensedtoparent.org. And while you're on the site, I would heartily encourage you to click on the donate button in the upper right-hand portion of the page. It is next to impossible to keep a radio outreach going and a facility like Shepherd's Hill going without great partners like you. Your financial help will enable us to keep ministering to teens in trouble and also, through this radio program, to keep ministering to their parents. So if you would please prayerfully consider any way that you might join us in this mission by visiting us online at licensedtoparent.org and clicking on the donate button. On behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rossell, inviting you to join us again next week so you can once again renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.